If you would pray with me, I feel like that this is going to be a special time for us today because of the scriptures that we're choosing. Lord, we just love you so much. Lord, even as we were worshiping this morning, I'm just taken back once again by your grace and that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're always there, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what challenges we have, you are there with us, and I thank you for that, Lord. And so now, Lord, pray that you would reveal your word to us this morning, Lord God, because that is always life-changing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It happened on a Thursday in what we now know as Passion Week. Jesus appears to have made previous arrangements as he described to Peter and John what they were to do as they entered the city and prepare for the Passover meal. He told them they would see a man carrying a jar of water. He would stand out because in their culture, women usually carried the water jars instead of men. And Jesus then told them that the man carrying the water would lead them to a house. And they were to say to the owner of the house, the teacher asked, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Now the owner of the building was probably a follower of Jesus, as he was prepared to show them a large upper room, all furnished and ready for the disciples and Jesus. The Lord did not tell Peter and John the exact location, as Judas Iscariot may have used this opportunity to inform the Jewish leaders where Jesus was to be. For we know that later that evening, when Christ was betrayed by Judas at the Mount of Olives. This Passover meal was important to Jesus, as he said, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer." He did not want to be interrupted in this most important evening where he would both prepare himself and his disciples for his death and to present a whole new meaning to the Feast of Passover for all mankind to come. Now, as they gathered in the upper room, they reclined at a table. They probably didn't use chairs as we do, but reclined around a table. At one point in the meal, Jesus got up, took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He then washed each of his disciples' feet. Jesus showed them that even the Messiah, the Son of God, had the heart of a servant, and so should they. He proceeds to tell them many things. He predicts his betrayer, Judas Iscariot. He predicts that Peter, of all people, will deny that he knows the Lord three times before morning comes. He tells them not to worry, that he will go and prepare a place for them, and that he is the way to where he is going. They will know the way, which is to follow him. He says that he, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He repeatedly tells them to love him and in turn to love each other. He comforts them, tells them he would not leave them alone. He will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with them. He also says that they will grieve very soon, but their grief will be turned to joy. He then says that in him they will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus then prays for his disciples, and then after that he proceeds to then pray for all believers, those that will believe through the message of his disciples. They took part in the Passover meal during this time together. Now, the Passover tradition was in reference to the children of Egypt being delivered from bondage. Recorded in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, Pharaoh and the land of Egypt suffered many plagues, but this final plague was the harshest. All of the firstborn in Egypt were to die that night of both man and beast. the blood of a year-old lamb without defect, painted on the sides and tops of the door frames, was to mean life to that household. God spared the Israelites as they were passed over by the death angel. God gave these instructions through Moses, and we're going to have these on the screen. Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And then in Exodus chapter 12 through 13, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Now God is revealing to mankind that the only way to salvation is by the blood. There is life in the blood. There's healing, there's salvation, there's forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. And the Old Testament revealed an actual Lamb, as we just read, without blemish or spot. Jesus became the real Passover Lamb. And this is what we celebrate. And this is what we remember as we take communion this morning. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Sacrificed to bring life to mankind. And just as God passed over the Israelites when he saw the blood of the unblemished Lamb, so we, much more so, are saved by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died, as it says in Romans 6:10, once for all. And before we partake in the Lord's Supper, I want to give everyone an opportunity to be cleansed, passed over by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is accept his free gift of salvation to be passed over. And you can be with Jesus forever. And you can have a brand new life here on earth today. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sometimes you'll hear before a congregation partakes in communion, you'll hear something about if you have something in your life, you need to repent of it, or you're not worthy to take communion. There's something true in that in Scripture, but really the heart of that statement is that we all turn our hearts toward God, that we all say, I need you, Jesus. I need to be washed with the blood of the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, so that my sins may be forgiven. So if for a moment we would all bow our heads, don't want anybody in this room not to have an opportunity to share in communion because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life. It's a powerful thing, the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross. So if you're in this place today and you feel like I need to pray that prayer before I take communion, then I just want you to raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand where you are. Amen. I see you back there. Anybody else? Okay. Everybody pray with me, will you? Why don't you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask your blood to wash me and make me clean. I have sinned in my life, but I know you can cleanse me. I want to start brand new today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you to tell somebody that you did, okay? Don't keep it to yourself. You need to share with either a family member, a friend, or one of the pastors here that you prayed that prayer today, okay? Now, let's take our communion elements. Why don't you grab those? And I'm going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. And the Apostle Paul is going to relate something to us. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." Let's take of the bread. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember him as we drink from the cup. If I can have the worship team come up, that would be great. In an upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his death. He also gave the Passover meal a new meaning. And the loaf of bread and the cup of wine represented his body soon to be sacrificed and his blood soon to be shed. And so he instituted the Lord's Supper. Now mankind would be passed over from death into life by the blood of Christ. His blood rescues us from death and saves us from the slavery of sin. And now I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures to close here. And this was prophesied hundreds of years before Christ, what I'm going to read, from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. "Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And then in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshiped."